I'll be sharing with you from the Word of God. Before we begin, why don't we open in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this privilege to come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and open your word. We thank you that when we open your word, we know that it is truth. Lord, we pray that you would speak to each of our hearts this morning, that we would come to know you better and to know the security that we have in you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The theme that we're going to look at this morning is entitled "In Eternal Security, Our Motivation for Service, Not Our License for Sin." And I would like to first start out by talking about the subject that in Christ we are eternally secure. All of us like to have the feeling of security, don't we? In our relationships with people, we want to feel secure in those relationships. Well, especially in our relationship with God. I would first like to look at several scriptures that show us that the moment of our conversion, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, at that moment, we were given eternal life. We were given a gift that can never be taken away from us. When we received eternal life, we were made eternally secure in Christ. And let us look at some passages now from the Bible. The first one is a very familiar one. We read the words of Jesus in John chapter 10. If you could turn there, the Gospel of John chapter 10, starting at verse 27 through 30. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. First, let's look at what God's children have been given. What does it say? It says we are given eternal life. The very nature of these two words is self-explanatory, isn't it? Eternal life. How long does eternal last? Notice it doesn't say temporal life or two-year life or until you mess it up life. It says eternal life. You know, if you are here today as a born-again Christian, that means that you are a possessor of eternal life. Do you realize that you have a life that never ends? A life that never ends? Well, we know our physical lives will come to an end, but our relationship with God, our life with Christ, our life with the Lord Jesus is eternal. Look again at verse 28. Jesus, speaking of the believer, says that they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? We can never perish. As a believer, we can never end up in the lake of fire. You know, if a believer would be able to perish someday in the future, that would mean that God would be a liar, wouldn't it? God cannot lie. In other words, we are safe. We are safe in Christ. That's our position. Jesus says, neither can any man pluck them from out of my hand. You know, why are we safe? Because we are in the hand of Jesus Christ. We're in the hand of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ God? Yes, he is. Is Jesus Christ all-powerful? Yes, he is. Can Jesus Christ hold us eternally secure in his hand? Yes, he can, and yes, he does. Our eternal security rests in the all-powerful hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever think that our eternal security rests on our power or our perseverance. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who keeps us secure and preserves our salvation. Our security is not about us holding on to Him. It's all about the Lord holding on to us. If we had to maintain or preserve our salvation, we'd most certainly lose it. I know I would. Nobody, not even ourselves, is able to snatch us from the hands of Jesus Christ. Verse 29 says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." So we are safe in the hands of Jesus Christ, and we are secure in the hands of the Father. We're double secure, aren't we? And verse 30 says, "I and my Father are one." There we are, right in the hands of the Father and the Lord Jesus. Does this convince us that we are secure in Jesus Christ? Let's look at another scripture. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, another familiar scripture that many of us probably know from memory. Romans chapter 8, verses 37, starting at verse 37. Let's start actually in verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter.' Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Look what it says here. "Nothing in death and nothing in life can separate us from Jesus Christ." Do we realize that? That nothing can separate us from Jesus Christ? What else is there in our existence but death and life? Do we understand what this is saying? Nothing in death and nothing in life can separate us from Jesus Christ. What else does it say? Nothing in the present, neither the present nor the future. There's nothing in the future that can separate you from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you succeed in your Christian life, this is not what keeps you secure. Or if you fail in your Christian life, this does not cause you to lose your salvation. There are some false teachings I have heard that say we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, but we must maintain our salvation by our works. Have you ever heard that one? You know, this is not taught in the Bible. No, the Apostle Paul says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." How do we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By grace, through faith. We received a gift. We didn't do anything to deserve it, did we? What's grace? It's God's undeserved love for us. We were the recipients of this grace gift. What about after we are saved? How are we to walk? In our own strength? No. We did nothing to save ourselves. In fact, what was our contribution? It was the sin, right? Jesus did the saving. We simply trusted Him in our weak, lost condition. Even so, after we are saved, how do we walk the Christian life? We walk our Christian life recognizing before the Lord that we are weak and helpless. By faith, we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize that we are weak, and He is our strength. When we recognize that just as we were powerless to save ourselves, so also we are powerless to live the Christian life. When we arrive to that point, when we arrive to that point in our Christian walk, it's then that we'll understand how to walk in him. We were saved through faith, and we walk through faith. We were saved through faith, and we walk through faith. If you are like me, you have spent enough time in your Christian experience striving in the power of the flesh. Have you ever done that? I've done that. Striving in the power of the flesh to please God. It was all a waste of time, wasn't it? I have a question. Before we were saved, did it do any good for us to get right with God by doing real many good works? Did that help us get close to God? Did this please our holy God? No, the Bible says, "Be holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy." Even with our good intentions, we all fall short of being holy, don't we? In fact, the only thing our flesh can produce is filthy, even if it looks good on the outside. What does the scripture say? It says that all our righteousness are as what? As filthy rags, right? In other words, the best we have to offer to God in our flesh is like a filthy rag. Can't really brag, can we, before God? Let me tell you, believer, if you don't know that you are secure in Christ, you are most likely trying to live your Christian life by means of the flesh. But the flesh can never please God. The flesh can never please God. God did not ever expect us to walk by means of the flesh. God didn't renovate our old nature when he saved us. No, he gave us a new nature, didn't he? Behold, all things have become new. Our old nature that we had from Adam, do you know that it is still as wicked and helpless and bad as it always has been? You see, God did not reform the old nature when he saved us. No, he gave us a new nature in Christ Jesus. We are called a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we are to reckon ourselves dead unto sin and alive unto God. We were once slaves to our sin nature, weren't we? Slaves. We had no choice but to fulfill the lusts of our sin nature. But now that we have a new nature, what we have freedom, don't we? We can choose to walk in the Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit. The Bible tells us to walk by the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But when we walk in the Spirit, we are trusting in the Lord to work through us. We're trusting the Lord to work through us, for it is God who works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Remember at the beginning I said that eternal security is not eternal security is our motivation for service. Many opponents, people that disagree with this truth, will say that telling people they are eternally secure is giving people a license to sin. They say that people just get their fire insurance and then they live like the devil. Have you ever heard that one? First of all, not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. The Lord knows those who are his. Paul says there are some people who say, "Let us do evil that good may come." What does Paul say about these people? He says their condemnation is just. Now, God's grace is not a license to sin, but a motivator to respond to his love by loving in return. Eternal security is truly our motivation for service. Why do we love him? We love him because he first loved us. Do we get it? Until you recognize that you are loved by God and that he holds you secure, until we recognize this truth, we're not going to be able to love God. Would you like to have a friend that the moment you messed up, he would come by and torture you. The moment you messed up in your relationship with him, he'd come by and just torture you. Would you like that kind of a friend? No, we wouldn't like to have a friend like that. Then why do we think for one moment that Jesus is that kind of friend? Do you think that if you start messing up in your Christian walk and happen to die in the midst of your sin, do you think that Jesus is going to throw you in the lake of fire? I remember hearing that as a young boy. People telling me, you know, you're saved by grace through faith, but if you get in a car accident while you're speeding, you're going to go to the lake of fire. That was pretty strong words. Let's talk about living in fear. Better not go in the car at all. Take the bus. Let the bus driver go to hell. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Okay. Just. Did not Jesus? Sorry about that. Did not Jesus die for your sin? Did not Jesus give you eternal life and tell you through his word that you will never perish? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, starting at verse 17 through 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. What does it say? There is no fear in love. We love him because he first loved us. It all starts with Jesus, doesn't it? It all starts with Jesus Christ. He is our motivation in our Christian walk. And he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, does he? No, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The only thing that we lose, the only thing that we lose when we sin is our fellowship with the Lord. We do lose our fellowship. We lose, as David says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. We lose the joy of our salvation. We're intended to be children walking in harmony with God. When we sin, we lose that joy. We lose that harmony and fellowship with our Savior. We don't ever lose our salvation, but sin in the life of the believer causes him to lose all the comfort that we have in our eternal security. You see, even though we are eternally secure in Christ, even though we're eternally secure, we won't ever experience the comfort from this truth if we are living in the flesh. Our sin nature only produces what? Doubt and fear. That's why oftentimes when we're living in sin, if we're choosing to live in sin, we start doubting our salvation, don't we? The sin nature produces doubt and fear. But if we confess our sins to God, what does the scripture say? It says, he, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He has promised this. We need to remember to make use of this promise. We need to keep short accounts with God. In other words, how long after the Holy Spirit shows us our sin should we wait to confess our sin to God? Should we wait a long time? Try to make things up to God? Try to read our Bibles to make up for it? What should we do? We should confess our sin immediately. Why? Because God is faithful, and he will forgive us immediately. Why do we think sometimes that it's going to be better for us to hide from God? Did it work for Adam and Eve in the garden, hiding from God? Hiding in the garden? No. Will it work for us? No. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. We're bought with a price. If you have been saved from eternal judgment, God forever has his hand on you. We can try to run from him. We can try to run from him, but he still has his hand on us. He still has his hand on you. We can try to walk in the flesh, but he loves us enough to discipline us. I want to turn also to some verses in Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. God loves us as his children enough to discipline us. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 3. Hebrews 12, verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which you all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So God loves us, how? As dear sons. When the Lord disciplines us, this should give us comfort. Maybe we're not enjoying the discipline, but at least we know we're his child, don't we? He's treating us as sons. He loves us. Notice that he disciplines his children. Now that is something that many people forget who are against the fact that we're eternally secure in Christ. They think that eternal security is a license to sin. But they're forgetting that the believer doesn't get away with anything, does he? We don't get away with anything. The believer is always disciplined, and God disciplines us because he loves us. He wants what? The highest and best for his children. There may be cases that the Lord even disciplines a person to the point of death. In other words, the Lord says, if you're not going to glorify me in your life, I'm going to take you home. Does this mean that every person who dies young is being taken home early? No. No. But even if the Lord does take a believer that's living in the flesh home early, they will never be sent to the eternal lake of fire. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul scolds the Corinthian church for being proud about a believer's gross sin. Instead of being proud about this sin and tolerating it, what does Paul tell them to do? In verse 5, Paul tells them, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Why the destruction of the flesh? Because this brother is not glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in his body anymore. Why does it say that his spirit may be saved on the day of Christ Jesus? Because God is faithful to the end, isn't he? Even if we are faithless, the scripture says he remains faithful because he cannot disown himself. We are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, the Father sees us as he sees his Son. He sees us in Christ. He sees us blameless and spotless like he sees the Lord Jesus. We cannot be condemned in eternity because the Father, who did he condemn? He condemned his own Son. The Son took our place. We have been given the righteousness of Christ. We are in Christ forever. Some may call this a license to sin, but I call this a license to serve. When someone gives you a wonderful gift, does that give you the desire to go and just slap that person in the face? Does it? No. It makes us want to be kind to that person and to be thankful. Just in case there are some here who think that God is not just, we need to remember, if a person does not receive the gift of eternal life through faith in Christ during this life, he will be judged in the lake of fire someday. God judges through fire. Now, even though we through faith in Christ are safe from the fire of judgment in the future, do you know that our works will be judged? Our works will be judged. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Do you notice what it says about the believer who produces wood, hay, and stubble? What does it say? It says we suffer loss. We lose rewards that could have been ours. But notice what is not lost. Verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I heard it said once that many of us are going to enter into heaven smelling like smoke. Ever hear that one? Saved, yet so as through fire. I still remember the first message I heard at the chapel. It wasn't here in this building, but it was at the men's retreat out in Lake Geneva. And I remember Paul Polshinski, he was preaching with passion. I still remember it. And he was telling us that many of us are going to go before the Lord someday with nothing but ashes. Now, he said it with a lot of passion. Those words always stayed with me. What is our desire? Do we want to worship the Lord in eternity with gold, silver, and precious stones? Or do we want to present him with ashes? Now we might think, well, gold, silver, and precious stones. Well, just think. Remember that portion where it talks about the elders in heaven with their crowns? What do they do? What are those crowns for? Oh, look at me with my nice crown. No, what did they throw it at the feet, cast it at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. These rewards that we have are not to glorify ourselves, but they're to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. They're a privilege to have, to give to him as a love gift. We need to be about our Father's business, don't we? We need to be about our Father's business, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. I think we all want to hear the Father say someday, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's remember, as we have received the Lord Jesus Christ, let us walk in him. We receive Christ by faith, and we need to continue to walk by faith. We couldn't save ourselves, and we most certainly cannot walk the Christian life in our power either. Remember, when we are weak, who is strong? He is strong. The Lord's power, the scripture says, is made perfect in weakness. Our job is to keep telling the Lord how weak we are. Lord, I can't do this. And he tells us, yes, but I can. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing him as our strength. We are eternally secure in Christ Jesus. He has given us a reason to serve him with all our hearts. We love him, don't we? Why? Because he first loved us. When we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know, if the Lord did the most for us, he did the most for us when we were his enemies, how much more will he do for us now that we're his dear children? Well, he'll do much more, won't he? He gives us grace and more grace, doesn't he? He fills our cup to overflowing. The Lord keeps us secure and enables us to live the Christian life through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to share now just several passages. I'd like the Word of God just to speak to us on this subject. And share with you, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to read several passages that speak to us and give us confidence about our secure position that we have in Christ Jesus. Listen to these verses. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. That was Ephesians 1:13. Notice what it said. Who is the guarantee? We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. God himself is our guarantee. It's not us. Another verse. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. When we go to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, our spiritual hunger for salvation is satisfied one time. We don't need to eat again and again and again. We don't need to get saved again and again and again. How many times are we born into this world physically? One time. How many times are we born spiritually? One time. Another verse. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That was John 6, verse 39 to 40. What does it say? What's the Lord's will? That none, all who are given him, he should lose none. He should lose none. And what do we get? We have everlasting life. And how long does everlasting last? Forever. Another verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. Who began the good work in us? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he saved us. And who's going to take it to the day of completion? Who's going to complete this work in us? The Lord himself. We're safe in him. Another verse. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Are we appointed to wrath? No. Where is our citizenship? With the Lord Jesus in heaven. Another verse.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Can you imagine that? That he's going to present us blameless? I don't know about you, but I don't always feel blameless. But I am blameless in Jesus Christ, and so are you. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful truth that we need to hold on to. Another verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. What has he given us? He's given us living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what is our inheritance? It's an inheritance that can never fade away, can never be corrupted. We can't mess it up. Why? Because it's reserved in heaven for you. We're kept. How? By our power? By being strong? No. We're kept by the power of God. We're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. A verse from 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. What does he say? He writes these things so that we may hope that we have eternal life. We may think, maybe I have it. No, it says, so that you may know with certainty that you have eternal life. And then finally from Jude 24:25, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. What does it say? He is able. He's able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless. Isn't that a special promise? That he's going to present us faultless in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Yes, with exceeding joy. He can't wait for this day. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ just cannot wait for that day when he's going to present us? We're going to be presented before God with exceeding joy. It's a beautiful truth. May the Lord Jesus Christ encourage us with these promises of his. May the security that we find in Christ Jesus motivate us to continue serving him and glorifying him through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. We thank you that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, Father, there are many of us here that have this hope, this security in Christ. We have eternal life and we have a citizenship in heaven. We just thank you for this, Father. But, Father, there might be someone here that doesn't have this hope, who doesn't know their security in Christ. Lord, we just pray that you would touch the hearts of each person here, that everyone will know how much Christ loves them. Help everyone to understand that Christ, when he was on the cross, took our place. He was judged for all of the sins and all of the things that we have done that aren't pleasing to him. He was judged in our place. He bore the penalty of our sins. He died in our place as our substitute on the cross of Calvary. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that Not only did he die, but he rose again victoriously from the grave, and he lives to give us living hope. Father, we thank you, and we just pray that you would help each of us to be motivated by your word to live for you. Lord, when we hear these truths, it doesn't make us want to go out and sin, but we want to say thank you, Father. We want to love you because you first loved us. Lord, help us now. You know we are weak. You know we have our these bodies of death. But Lord, when we are weak, you are our strength. So we look to you in confidence. We thank you for this time together in your word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.